You're listening to 515, the Ultraman podcast, the show that invites you into the lives of people who make up the Ultra family. Here's your host for these conversations, co-race director of Ultraman Canada, Larry Ryan.
Thank you, Mary Jo. Today we are traveling to the birthplace of Ultraman to have a conversation with Ultramama Jane Bokas. Then we go off to Russia to speak with the current Cyberman 515 record holder and upcoming UMC athlete Maxim Knezev. And Steve will take us round trip back to Kona for another Steve King story. Just before we start today's episode, I want to take a second to thank you for listening to my first three episodes and for telling your friends about my podcast. We immediately went worldwide in over 15 countries in just days. I truly appreciate each of you who share the links and help more people find 515. Please send me your feedback and rate the show wherever you get your podcast. When we speak of people involved in the 515 distance events, we speak of the Ohana, the Ultra family. Today's guest is the Ultra Mama of the family, the caretaker of the Ultraman brand, the embodiment of Aloha, Kakua, and Ohana. From her home on the Big Island of Hawaii, it is my pleasure to have this opportunity to speak today with Jane Bokas. Aloha, Jane.
Hi there. Aloha.
Aloha. What part of the island is your home actually located on?
I live in Kona, which is on the west side of the island. Been here since 1971.
You must have seen some changes in that time of Kona.
When we moved here, there was one traffic light in Hilo. That was it. 100 miles away.
Anyone who's listening to this podcast obviously is going to know Kona as the home of the Ironman World Championship and of the Ultraman World Championship. When the roadshow comes into town, the big Ironman roadshow, and the people that come with it, they probably see Kona in a certain way, like all that hive of activity that goes with it. But what's it like to live there for the rest of the year?
Much quieter. When they first had Ironman here, it was in February. But after 2 years, they decided that wasn't convenient because that's busy time anyway for tourists. So they moved it till October, which is a not as busy a time. And it gives people on the mainland time to practice and train through the summer, which is good.
Yeah, that gives them the best chance to come in at a peak performance, I'm guessing.
Well, better than when it was February.
But living in Hawaii, it's really summer for you all year round. It's one of the great advantages. And I know you take advantage of it in a way of joining in with your friends in paddling. Tell me a little bit about your paddling experience.
Well, let's see. 42 years ago, I started paddling. And then the club that I paddle with now, Keoho, was formed in 1980. And I transferred to them because it's closer to home. And I've been with them ever since.
And you actually compete as well. Like you're a racer in this.
I have. This year, this island again is not going to have a 70 and over women's crew. So, of course, with COVID, there weren't any races last year. And so far, it looks like there won't be this year. We have one-man races with one-man and two-man canoes. Those we're allowed to have, which is great.
Yeah.
But I don't race that. I do the timing and help with the registration and stuff on that one.
Yeah. And when you do paddle, it's in outrigger. Is that correct?
Yeah, outrigger canoes. Usually a double hull or a single hull with 6 people or 12 people. Actually, COVID allows us to have 10 in the 12-man double hull.
Oh. But
that worked out.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Gives you that extra space.
Right. And we're masked until we're actually in the canoe with a paddle in your hands and the boat is launched.
Oh, yeah. Is this kind of racing in an outrigger, is that ever at all dangerous?
If you're going inter-island, depending on the conditions, it can be somewhat dangerous. I mean, they do hooli, flip over with a cover on. It's hard to get out of it sometimes, but I haven't had that happen, so it's good.
Oh, good.
And then every couple of years, they have the international races, the World Sprints. And I've paddled in Calgary. I've paddled in Australia, several places like that, brought home medals from those races, which is fun.
Oh, that's great. And that was age grouping that you do that in?
That is age group, yes.
Yeah, and so that's what you're saying, that they won't have that age group for this year, though.
It was scheduled this past summer in Hilo, actually, and they had to cancel.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, but that seems to be the way of the world at the moment.
Unfortunately,
A lot of cancellations.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially with triathlon as well, which is too bad, because they, especially with Ultraman, with only 40 athletes, the only time they're together is at the start each day, and then they're really spread out. Yeah.
Hopefully we'll be able to start redoing our Ultraman races in a nice COVID friendly way.
Right. I hope so too.
Now, when you come to the Ultraman in Penticton, we always say that when you come to an Ultraman, you're coming to a family reunion, but for you, it is a homecoming, because you've lived in Canada for a period of time. What was going on in your life at that point in time?
Well, I grew up in Montreal, and my brother's still there. Actually, he's in Vermont right now, but he's from Montreal. And in 1964, I started with Pan Am. And so that's when I came to the States. Oh. And I flew with Pan Am for 14 years. And then my daughter was born, and I stayed home since then.
So while you were working with Pan Am, then you made the move to Hawaii? Is that what happened? Or?
Yes, I did. I was based originally in San Francisco, met my husband, who's from Hawaii, and we married. The first year we lived in Honolulu, and we moved to Kona in 71.
When you've moved over to Hawaii, and you're obviously in the Ironman Mecca, and you've been a long time volunteer there. You're not a triathlete yourself, but you've been at the Ironman World Championships a number of times. How did you get involved with that? And what have some of your duties been while you've been volunteering there?
Well, the very first year it came here, the fellow who was in charge of the swim came around to all the canoe clubs and asked if we'd bring our canoes down to the bay, line them up, and everybody swam out one side and back on the other. They only did that 1 year, though. Oh. After that, they used buoys, because keeping canoes in line for 1.1 miles, they swam farther than they had to.
Yeah, but that would be a great sight to see. I think that would be really right, amazing.
Yeah. So after that, they used buoys. And then I was in charge of the changing tents on the pier for a couple of years. And then a friend of mine who was working with ABC Sports asked me if I'd help with her thing, because she was going to be away out of town. And I from then on, I was running the war room for ABC Sports, where we track all the athletes. This was before the days of cell phones, and we had landlines throughout the course.
Oh.
With the monitors, each of those calling in and letting us know where people were. And then we had a PA, a production assistant, in the room just following us. So it was kind of like the Jerry Lewis telethon, with all the phones around the room, and we had the big checkboards on the walls, and we tracked all the top men, the top women, and the Big Island athletes and the special stories that they were covering.
Oh, that's a real insider view to what's going on in the race.
Yeah, it was fun. You knew what was going on before anybody else did.
And is that still kind of your role there, or have you done other things now?
No, because now that they have the timing chips and cell phones made it a lot easier. But then with the timing chips, they have that, and they did away with that. So then I was in charge of aid stations director for a couple of years. And then after that, I gave that up, because when Ironman set its date for October, it was getting too close to Ultraman. It was getting kind of hectic. So I gave that job up.
Oh, yeah.
And now I just run an aid station.
Okay. Yeah. So you're still involved, though, just not as heavily. Yeah.
Not quite as heavily, no. Yeah. But I did aid stations for a while when Peter Young, the aid stations director, moved to Honolulu. So
now Ultraman comes to the island. And you've gotten involved in Ultraman as well. Now, whenever anybody looks up the history of Ultraman, it always talks about in 1983, they held the first Ultraman, and Curtis Tyler, Alex Smith, Conrad Will were the organizers, with Curtis being the race director. And then it kind of skips along to, and he handed it over to you. What happens in that 8 or 9 years in between? How is your involvement with Ultraman leading to you being the person who takes over Ultraman?
Well, there were 2 years that Curtis didn't put it on. It was too hectic, and he had some legal things happening. And so in 92, he wasn't going to do it. I was over here working on my ABC, and actually, yeah, that was still ABC. I think it switched the next year to NBC. I was working on that, and Klaus Hetzel called from Germany and said, "What's happening with Ultraman? We have a dozen people coming." And I turned around to Curtis. I was in his office using one of their computers. And he said, "I can't put it on this year. I don't have time to get the USA triathlon sanctioning." And I said, "Well, can we do it unofficially?" And he said, "Well, yeah, keep me out of it." So Don Ryder came over. He was an announcer announcing with Steve King that year for Ironman. And he came over, and so we put on Ultraman unofficially with 14 people, I think, 12 of them from Germany. And we had cut back on a lot of stuff that Curtis felt was necessary, and it really worked out well. So the next year, we got the USAT sanction. We did it again with Curtis. He was involved, but not involved.
Okay.
And the next year, he said, "Why don't you just take it over?" So we did. And so I've been race director until 3 years ago. I turned it over to Cheryl and David Cobb, who'd been helping put it on for a bunch of years.
Right. Yes. Of course, we all know Cheryl and Dave. When you have the first Ultramans at the island, what was the significance of the original course?
Well, it goes around the whole island. The first when Curtis was doing it, it started and finished at Kailua Pier, but traffic and things are getting busier now, so we changed the finish line to the old airport, which is a county facility, and it's a lot easier to get permits and not have to close roads, etc.
Right.
So it's less than a mile away from the original start, so you still go around the whole island, except for when the volcano won't let you.
And that happened just recently, too, a couple of years back, right?
A couple years ago, yeah.
Yeah,
and so we started and finished every day in Kona. Well, actually, we started in Kona, finished day one in Kona. Day two started and finished up in Hawi, and then they ran from Hawi back to Kona. So we stayed on the west side of the island because the east side roads were closed.
How did the athletes find that course in comparison to the regular course?
Well, actually, when Vito Biala wanted to take over, and he said, "Well, we can make it more than 40 people." And I said, "No, we can't." He said, "Yeah, we'll start and finish every day in Kona." And there were 2 years, I think, we did that. The numbers went down. The mystique of going around the island is part of Ultraman.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're keeping it to under 50 people. I like 40.
Right.
And that works a lot better. And we're going back around the island.
Yeah, it's great to go all the way around and see the different landscapes as well. And
exactly, yeah, all the conditions are different too.
All the conditions, yeah. But there's always going to be rain.
Somewhere.
Somewhere. So you're talking about how it's limited, and I think most people know that the race is limited to, it's invitation only and limited to 50 people, sometimes 40. But I understand there was 1 year where there was more than 50 people. What happened on that year?
Yeah, there were years that Curtis was trying to make it big too. He had to start separately on day three and day two, and it just wasn't the same. So when I took over, I said, it's not going to be more than 40 on this island.
All the Ultraman events that I've been to, I find the same thing, that the smaller the event, the more you get the ohana of the event. And
exactly. There
seems to be that 35 to 40 person range that, depending on which course it is, gives you a good level of competition, but it also allows for you to get to know everybody or a lot of the people.
Yeah. All the athletes and the crews. The crews get really close as well,
because they end up leapfrogging over one another as they're going through the course, and they get to talking, and that's one of the great experiences of doing Ultraman is being on those crews and having those conversations
and
on the road.
And crews help one another as well. If an athlete goes off course, gets lost, a crew will find him, let him help him get back on course. If somebody has something go wrong with their bike, they'll lend them another bike. It really works out well.
Yes, and that's obviously the mystique of Ultraman, I think, is the way that all that works. And it's not just I'm out there to win a race. We're all out there to get to the finish line and have an experience along the way.
Exactly.
When I was speaking to Steve King recently, he was talking about how that happens within your own organization as well for the race organization, in that you have a number of people who continue to come back year after year, even from the mainland, in order to be part of this race. So maybe you can just tell me a little bit about some of those people, who they are, what they do when they come year after year, and why are they doing it still?
Right. Yeah. The gal who is our medic comes every year. Steve and Gene come from Canada. They're our announcer. I call him the voice of Ultraman because he announces all of the Ultraman races, which is wonderful. A lot of people come from Honolulu as well. So it's a big family reunion. Thanksgiving weekend, American Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah. You know, we talked about a little bit earlier some of the times where the courses had to be changed due to lava flow and things like that. What are some of your other memories of times when there was something that happened in the race that just made it maybe slightly dangerous or like really memorable because it caused something in the race? Like, what are some of the trials that you've had to face as a race director to put on this race year after year and in a place that is prone to climate?
That's a good way to put it. Prone to climate or prone to Madame Pelle.
Yeah.
The volcano back in the beginning, Curtis had to change it several years too, because they used to start at Volcano and go down the chain of craters road to the coastline and then along the coastline. Well, in 87, 88, the lava crossed the highway there again. So they had to go down to Hilo and then cut back. So the course has been changed a number of times just because of Madame Pelle, the volcano, decides to erupt and cuts certain roads. So there were a couple of years that it got changed. Then when they repaired that road, they went back to that course, and again, lava came down again and changed it, and they never did repair that road. So we had to change it to the course that we have now. So people who say, well, I've got the Ultraman record, well, maybe they have for 1 year, but if the course changed the next year, it's not the same record.
Have there been any other years where there's been like low finisher rate or something due to some extreme things that were happening?
The year that we started and finished in Kona every year, when Vito was trying to make it big, that's when numbers went down again, because it was starting and finishing in Kona every year. Every day.
Do you have any other memories of particular athletes, like ones that really stand out for performances that they did or struggles that they had to overcome during the race, or maybe even the fact that like just them getting to the finish line was an amazing story? Like, do you have any of those that just pop out of your head?
The years that Miro and the guy from Brazil, they would compete against each other. They're both really good swimmers, both good cyclists, but usually the guy from Brazil would finish ahead of Miro. And yet when Miro got on the run, they would run together three quarters of the way. And when it got to the airport, the Brazilian guy would say, go. And Miro would take off and get first on the run, whereas the Brazilian guy would win overall.
Oh.
Until 1 year, I think it was the year that Miro turned 50, he won the whole thing. And it was really, yeah.
And just as a point of reference for the listeners out there, the World Championship has opened its application process for the 2021 November race, if you are interested. Now, Jane, since you've been the caretaker of this race for such a long time, do you have any specific tips that might help the athletes out there who want to apply to maybe get a little bit ahead in their application when they're being compared to other applicants? What are the things that the board is looking for that are reviewing these applications?
Well, lately, there have been so many more athletes wanting to come to Hawaii. Now they have to do another one, an Ultraman in Canada or
Arizona, Florida.
Yeah, they have to have done another Ultraman in order to qualify to come. Still have to do an Ironman, finish an Ironman distance. Say an Ironman doesn't have to have the MDOT brand, but it has to be an Ironman distance in order to show us that they have the wherewithal to finish.
Just aside from just doing the Ultraman qualifier and doing the Ironman qualifier, are there any other tips that would make someone's application stand out against another person who is also applying?
Be a nice person. You know, there's some people that have a reputation of they're so competitive that they don't share their abilities or their feelings with anyone else. And if they're a turkey, they don't get invited. That's why we keep it an invitation. The guy who started Ironman said to me the second year that I was in charge, he said, Jane, keep your race an invitational. If you hear somebody is a jerk or they've got a reputation of cheating somewhere, don't invite them. You don't have to. So that's why we're keeping it an invitational.
Right. I definitely appreciate it having the time to speak with you today, Jane, and I know you got to get going. So
they hear the mower in the background.
there are other things going on in your house, and you've got to speak to that grandchild of yours. So I do appreciate your time today. Thank you for coming on Zoom with me and having this conversation and sharing some of your ultra stories. And hopefully the people listening will have a better appreciation of some of that ultra history from the person who knows it best, Ultra Mama Jane Bocas.
Great. Thank you. Thanks, Larry. Good luck.
I had no idea that Jane was behind the scenes of those Ironman telecasts. What an interesting way to view the race. Coming up in my next episode in the featured interview slot of Ohana members will be the 13-time 515 distance racer, Juan Craveri. And my new episodes are currently coming out every 3 weeks, so be sure to subscribe where you listen so you don't miss an episode. Remember, what happens on the road gets told as a crew story, and I want yours to add to this podcast. Plenty of people have said on Facebook that they have great stories to share, but the submissions are not yet rolling in. If you would like to tell your crew story from any race, it doesn't have to be an Ultraman, please email me at 515ultraman@gmail.com, and I'll set you up with the directions. And now for a crew story from Ultraman Canada alum, Rory Bass.
Hello there. My name's Rory Bass, and in 2017, I crewed at Ultra 520 for an athlete from Japan, and his name was Genzo Ito, and he was only 21 years old, which I believe is one of the youngest finishers of that event. And what made it even more interesting is that he spoke no English, and I speak absolutely no Japanese, so and we found it a little bit of a challenge to communicate directly, since all he could say in English was, thank you. So what he did bring with him was a longtime high school friend, lifelong friend, basically, quite fluent in English because he had spent some time going to post-high school education in the United States. So at the end of day two, my main goal was to get this athlete some food for the next day since you can't get anything out on the course. And off we head to the local grocery store. So we start at the fresh fruit and produce section and grab some bananas. Okay, awesome. So off we go down each aisle of the store and we come across the aisle that has a few personal items, and he says he needs some Vaseline. So we pick up some Vaseline, and then a few spots down from that is contraceptives. So I'm standing there, it's three guys near closing time, and we're holding a bunch of bananas and a tub of Vaseline, and they're looking at condoms. And I'm thinking, this does not look good. And my fellow crewmate is telling me of when his experience when he was in the United States that these particular condoms that he had picked up off the rack were the best ones. And I just smiled and nodded and quickly walked away to let them pay for the bananas and Vaseline and condoms. So that was the extent of our shopping. And yeah, I don't think I've ever done that before.
Thanks, Rory. I wasn't sure where that was going at first, and I'm not sure of where it went either. If you want a crew at UMC this year, or any year, we are always looking for people to connect with athletes, as it's difficult for people who come from around the world to travel with a crew. This is a great opportunity to preview the race if you are thinking about signing up. Or perhaps you're an Ironman looking for a way to volunteer within the sport. Check out Ultraman Canada's website to get more information about volunteering opportunities. Come and meet the people you are listening to and make new friends from around the world during this 3-day circus in July. Let's meet another of the 2021 Ultraman Canada athletes right now. Each episode, I take the time to introduce you to an athlete that will be competing in our upcoming Ultraman Canada 2021. Today's athlete is a 5:15 veteran and holder of the fastest time to finish Cyberman 5:15 in Russia. He is coming to us from his home in Moscow. It is my pleasure to present to you today, Maxim Knezev.
Hello, hello to everyone. Thank you so much, Vladi. I'm glad and I'm happy to hear you and speak with you. And I really wait and prepare for this time for 22 July to come and get a great race in Canada.
You're kind of new to triathlon. You've only been doing this since 2017. Is that correct?
Yes. My first race was in Estonia, the city of Otepää. It was in 2017. It was the half Ironman. It was my first race. That was a year of my start as hobby and my little addiction of triathlon.
Yeah, but yours has grown very quickly. Usually people, you know, spend a few years in Ironman and they build up to the ultra distance, but you're jumping into it right away. And I think that's really interesting that you've pushed yourself to that limit right away.
Yes. I don't know how, but maybe some little talent or addiction, but I make my shape about half of year to race. I was ready to race my first time. About 5 hours, 24, 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. For half Ironman. It's not so fast time, but for the first time is not so bad.
No, that's excellent. Yeah. And did you always know that you wanted to move into the ultra right away, or did you discover the idea that there was an ultra after you'd been doing Ironman?
Ultra races was some unbelievable for me. I can imagine that sometimes I can participate in such races. Heard the first time about Ultraman competition, it's from book Becoming Ultra. Rich Roll, yes, Rich Roll.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is author of the book. So yeah. I try to think how it can is it real? It was absolutely impossible for me. But in 2018, I write to director of Cyberman race and ask him. I ask him to that I want to participate in Cyberman. But in that time, I don't have a full race finish. He answered me that that I can't participate. But I asked him again and again. So he said me, okay. And I did it in 2018. My finish time was 28 hours. It was so long race. Too long, I think.
With Cyberman, I don't imagine too many people have, at least on the North American side of the world, have participated in this event. Can you tell us a little bit about what Cyberman is like, what the courses are like at Cyberman, what kind of scenery you see, that kind of thing?
Oh, okay, sure. Cyberman, the same rules, the same distances for 3 days as classic Ultraman race. So first day, it is 10 kilometers swimming, 145 bike. Second day is 276 kilometers for bike. And the third day, running day, 84 kilometers for running. First day, the swimming stage, it's a comfortable water. Like, I think it's something like in Canada will be. It was lake. My time in first attempt in 2018 was 3 hours, 8 minutes. 8 minutes, it was the first time. I was the first. But I have a very weak bike shape. So after first swimming stage, I lose about seven position. The big problem of Cyberman is the bad road. One guy in 2019, he is the previous record holder. He's German, Volker. He had some problems with his bike. Something was broken. The reason of this is about very bad road.
Okay, yeah, so the bumpy roads like broke part of the frame or part of the handlebars or something.
Yes, but the third day running stage is very good and comfortable for calculate and making your plan, because in Canada, from start to finish, 84 kilometers, not rounds. But in Cyberman is that 12 rounds of 7 kilometers each.
All right. So you're doing 12 laps.
Yes, laps, 12 laps. And you can calculate your plan. For example, in my last year, in my great Cyberman race, I start first lap pace 5 minutes 10 seconds per kilometer. And after, I make it faster, and finish with pace of 4 minutes 30 seconds per kilometer.
That's nice that you can keep going faster as you go.
Yes, but after this, I asked my coach. What do you think? What can I do better? He said me that I think you should you can run 84 kilometers sub 6 or maybe sub 6:20. It's a great goal.
yeah. And is that course fairly flat?
Yes, flat, without, but I can find it about 800, little less than 1,000 meters.
Of elevation, yeah. Yes. Okay, yeah. Have you looked at our course? We have a lot of elevation on our run.
Big elevation for running course?
Yeah.
But as I study it after 56 kilometer, it's descent. So it's a good ability to to make my pace faster.
Yeah. We're downhill at the end. So yeah, that's always a good part. Unless your legs are burning too much to be able to control the downhill run.
Yeah. and of course, I believe that bike course will be very comfortable because the Canadian roads should be excellent.
yeah, our roads are fine. Yeah. And now you've also done some ultra marathoning as well, and you've done a race in Turkey. What was that race in Turkey that you did?
Cappadocia, if you heard about.
No, I have not heard of that one. No? Tell me a little bit about that one.
Cappadocia was my very difficult but amazing race because I was ready for run such distance. It was 120 kilometers, but I had some problems with my clothes because when the night come, I feel cold. It was unpredictable for me. So I think about maybe I should stop and out of race. So you should move. Right. But when you stop, it will be dangerous for you.
Mm. What kind of temperatures were you having in the evening there?
From in the evening to night, the temperature fall to about 2 degrees. It's close to zero.
And is that
in the short and t-shirt?
Yeah. and is that a loop course or is that a point to point? Do you have a crew that comes with you on that run or are you by yourself? How does that run work?
No crew. It's just by myself race.
And with your Cyberman, now you got the course record.
I don't know how I did it. As you know, I think in all world with the pandemic and the quarantine, so I train hard and sleep train and work was online. Right. Yes, by my laptop. So I have such a big pool of time for training part. But I thought if it's my second time, I should improve my result. So I should maybe I should win or but of course I was ready to be second or third. But when I saw for two list of participants. I was surprised that there were all very strong athletes. Five or six of them was in Kona, you know, Ironman Kona. Yeah. After first day, I swim much faster than my first attempt. Mm-hmm. So my time, my finish time of 10 kilometers swimming was two hours 50 minutes.
That's excellent.
2 hours, it's not so fast because I'm not a swimmer, but it's very good. I was only seventh.
Wow.
bike course was a little bit better. My position after first day was sixth. So what should I do for win, for win two or three positions? I didn't have the answer for this question, but after second day, my coach said me, you shouldn't ride fast from the start. About 180 kilometers, I ride softer than I can.
Right.
After last 90 kilometers, I ride faster and faster. I went to first. So I stand in the third position. After maybe 10 kilometers, I overtook the second. So my position stand the second. And I think it's amazing. I'm a second in the big, in such a big bike course. To finish was about 20 kilometers. I ride faster and faster. I feel bad. I feel excellent myself. So I can do faster and faster. And I ride right. And I saw them crew car stop.
Right, the crew for the other racer in front of you.
Oh yeah. My God, he is there. And there was some uphill, and I know that it's my time to broke him. So I find all my power to make it the fastest uphill ride in my life, and I the previous second day by course the record was 7 hours 52 minutes. Mm-hmm. My time was 7 hours 48.
Oh,
so
excellent.
New course record.
So by chasing him up the hill, it you got you to a new record.
Yes. And after second day, all participants they see to me as a leader, saying, "Whoa, wow, where are you from? How do you do?" Because I'm the underdog, right. And nobody thinks that I can to win. But my position after second day was at third.
Third overall in the race.
Yes, 9 minutes from first, mm-hmm. And 6 minutes from the second.
Okay.
I knew that running day will be mine. I believe and I think I'm sure in the fact that I'm a better runner than cycle and the swimmer.
Right, that's your strong suit. Yeah. Now let me ask you a question. So, if you put all this energy into the last 90 kilometers of your bike ride, did you have any fear that you burnt out your legs for the run? What did you do that in the day two evening before the day three start? What kind of recovery did you do? What kind of foods were you taking in and fluids and stuff like that? What was your preparation for day three, given that you put so much into day two?
My superpower is the sleeping skill. I know that I should sleep as much as I can. So when we came to hotel, I ate big pasta portion, and go run to bed. And it's very difficult to sleep. You are excited, so very very excited from the race, and it's big problem. Somebody of Cybermans, I asked them after race, they slept 4 or 3 hours.
Yeah, there's just so much adrenaline going through your body.
Yes, adrenaline. Yeah. Yes, the reason of this difficulty is adrenaline. I try to sleep as long as I can. So warm shower. And the roller for the legs. No
special formula. Nothing special. You just
nothing special. I keep in my mind that I can win, and I was ready to squeeze everything out of myself.
Right.
So I know that in the third day. I can win, or maybe it's a little dramatic, but I think about it was a strange, but I was ready to die on the race.
Yeah, you were gonna give it your all to either win or just blow up and be done.
I promised to myself that I never stop. I will run as I can, and if it will be enough for me, it's okay. So right. my scenario was right.
So when you come to Ultraman Canada, you already have a course record for Cyberman, and you've talked a little bit already about the world championship, and maybe that might be a goal for you. But what's your goal in coming to Canada? Why have you chosen Canada to come to for a race? What are you hoping to get from this race? And what do you know about the race itself already?
Firstly, I love Canada. So Canada is my favorite country from childhood. I don't know. My favorite actor is Ryan Reynolds. He is Canadian. My movie star athlete is Lionel Sanders from the Canada. My favorite comics hero, Deadpool, he is from Canada.
Yeah.
When I write the official races of Ultraman, when I checked out in the internet, I find three races.
Right.
Arizona, Florida, yes, and Canada.
Yeah.
And the world championship in Hawaii.
Right.
So Canada was my choice because I'm not good in hot weather. It's my problem.
Mm. So I have some bad news for you. I have some bad news for you.
Yeah.
We have the bad news. Yeah. We have the hottest race of all four.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because we are in the peak of our summer.
But this year I'm prepared to Kona. So it will be a good experience for me.
Yeah. And well, you see what happens is in Kona they do theirs in November, where it's cooler and rainier, and ours is in the middle of the summer.
What is the temperature for running the course?
Our temperatures on the days of our race is usually range between 30 and 37 Celsius. Yeah, and on the run course we're usually around 35.
Oh, this will be funny. Funny.
You're gonna have to get some heat training and.
Yeah. My first Ironman race will be 12th March, five weeks in Dubai.
Oh yeah, so that'll be some good heat training for you.
So in Canada, my choice was Canada race Ultraman. After Cyberman finished, I checked out internet and find there that 2019 world record by Petr Babrusek was 28 minutes less than my time. I was surprised this news. I was so close to world record, but in 2020, a little month later, Petr Babrusek did it again and make a new world record. He beat himself. So now the world record is 20 hours, 56 minutes.
Yeah. Is that something that you're looking at then?
Yes. I think I should make a big goal for my Canadian race. And I will try to beat the world record. Actually, I think that Zech Ultra is very fast race. If you know the bike course for second day is the 55 laps.
Okay.
they did everything for Mike their race the fastest.
Yeah,
but I think the attempt to beat such record is a big goal. So if I will do it, it will be a great attainment.
achievement.
And the second point after finish 24 July, I will have a bed in the 27th of July. So three days later after finish.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. Small interjection in the interview here. While editing this episode, I realized that Maxim's audio cut out right when he said the most important part in that sentence, which was he has a baby due 3 days after the race. So it could be a very exciting race time for him when he comes to Canada. And he kind of just went on to the next thing. So we didn't hit on that as much as we should have. But yeah, congratulations to you and Daria.
But to beat the record, it's a good goal, but it's very dangerous because something can go wrong, and the weather can be worse, and something else. But my main goal for the race is to win. I hope that all participants will be strong men, experienced with big experience. All of them, I'm sure, is Ironman to make some competition with them.
Yeah, we have a good field coming for the race. If everybody's able to make it into Canada, you know, with COVID and things like that. But it looks like it's going to be a very competitive field this year, for sure. And you're obviously one of those people. What I like to do is try and have one half of a conversation about your races and things that you've done. And then the second half is more about you personally, so that when the athletes are listening to these conversations, they get to know each other a little bit. So when you meet in Canada, you already know each other a little bit because you've heard these conversations. At this point, what I'd like to do is transition over to the more personal side of what your life is like. And I always do that by doing a quick rapid fire question round, which I'm calling 2 minutes in transition. What's the favorite event that you've done so far?
Of course, this is the Cyberman last year, because my the fastest race and the first race when I won.
What's the last piece of equipment that you purchased?
Swimming suit.
Oh, okay. Wetsuit?
Sailfish suit. It's a blue type, because this type of suit is for best swimmers. Because my water position is not horizontal, so it's...
Right, helps with your buoyancy, yeah. Which athlete do you most admire?
Lionel Sanders.
What do you do for fun that does not involve swimming, biking, and running?
I read comics.
No.
I collect comics, and I like to drive karting. You know, it's a very fast drive on track, like little.
Yeah. You drive on a racetrack?
As fun, not as sportsman.
Right, yeah. But you still go onto a track. It's not like just out on the roads.
Yes, on track.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice, yeah. Tell me a little bit about your family life. What do you do as a typical family in Moscow? How many children do you have? What are their names? Tell me about your family life.
I have now. We have one baby, Victoria, 4 years, 4 years old girl, and then in the nearest future we have one more. I hope it will be boy, but how it can be, I don't know now.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, my wife, Daria, she's not so happy of my triathlon hobby, but after Cyberman race last year, she started to think that maybe I can some future, or I think before this she thought that it's wasting time and money, because PT bike is very expensive, running shoes so expensive too, we should fly it in another country. But all this time I believe that I can become stronger and stronger. So I dream about to become pro athlete from amateur.
Okay, yeah, Yes. Excellent. Yeah. And you definitely need, a lot of family support when you do these things. Yes. So.
Yes. Unfortunately, my wife doesn't have the same dream as mine, yeah. But it's normal. Now she believe to me, and I ask her, would you like me to beat the world record? He answered that, of course, do. Yeah. But sometimes I should spend lots of time. For example, right now I'm not in Moscow. I'm not in with my family. My family, my pregnant wife with 4 years daughter in Moscow, but I am in Thousand City. Maybe you know Gelendzhik, Sochi Olympic City.
Sochi? You're Sochi. In Sochi?
200 kilometers from Sochi.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because here I can ride my bike. For example, tomorrow I have a 5 hours bike session. In Moscow, mm-hmm. it's impossible.
Right.
Unfortunately. So I choose. Now I want to be with my family to see as my bike stomach is growing. But unfortunately, I should train two or three times per day to make my shape stronger day by day. But I believe that. After finish, she will glad to me. She will proud of me.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So you're making a sacrifice to leave your family to go and train, and they're obviously also making that same sacrifice to have you away.
Yes, of course. For example, after 10 maybe or 20 years, my children ask me. Daddy, what great things you did? I asked him. I work hard. I buy one apartment. I bought 3 or 5 cars. It's not so great. That's why I'm addicted to win this race, to win Canadian race.
Yeah.
For present this. My own legacy to my children.
Yeah, yeah, to be a role model and make sure that they see that. Yeah, that's understandable.
To be a role model for my children, of course.
If you're taking this time off and you're also going to be going to Dubai to train and do a race there, and you've got this goal of maybe becoming pro with the sport, what's able to fund you at this point? Like what's your regular day job? How is that being affected by this break that you're doing for your training? What do you do for work?
For work, now I have my main work is I'm a geologist. Mm-hmm. So my main work on online and somebody asked me about deposit, about coordination, about some minerals, and I write some report of these. And
you're able to work. You're able to work as a consultant,
yes,
through consultant. Online.
Of course, yeah. Geologist consultant. Consultant. Yes.
Yeah.
Some times ago, maybe 1 year ago, about before pandemic, my goal was to find some gold deposit or maybe some rare mineral deposit, and it's really it's possible to make big money. That's what my goal. I would like to become a millionaire, and it's real. But after pandemic, after quarantine, I think it's not main things in our life, and they change. It's like insight in my mind.
Yeah. So I think for many people, the pandemic has given them the opportunity to stop what they're doing in their life and look at it carefully and say, is this really making me happy? Is this what I want to do? And is there something else that I can or should be doing that yes. will that'll be more rewarding for me?
Worldview, yes.
Yeah.
Many people change their worldview. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Get out of that rat race and just change your perspective. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
We should, I think, about more ecological and sustainable principles in my life. And that things which I want to talk about with my children.
Do you have any? Do you have? I think you've mentioned that you do have a coach. What kind of program did your coach put you on? Who is your coach? First of all, I guess let's find out who is your coach, and then what kind of program are you on to prepare for Ultraman Canada?
I have a two coaches for swimming coach is a pro swimmers. And run and bike coach, Anton is a bike and a runner coach. He is a great trail runner, and our main program for Ultraman race, we do power walk in gym every time, two or three times per week. Most athletes do it only in winter time. In spring, they stop this. Yeah. But we decided to do it all year.
Okay.
Yes. It looks a little risky, but we believe in a big profit.
Okay. So you're trying to continually work on increasing your power throughout your entire cycle. You're not gonna break off of that at all. And
for example, today I squat 10 reps for 10 sets. And yes, it's first workout, and after this, the second workout was 80 minutes run by heart rate zone. It's another running, because when you have that running on heavy legs is a good experience, because after you have a light legs, you run as Jesus.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, so you're trying to simulate the heavy legs and still run hard on those by combining it with your weight training.
The main idea to accumulate strong and power all year.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting approach. We'll have to follow and see how that works.
Dubai race in the 12th March will be as. We will see the result of such approach.
Yeah, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that works out for you. We'll have to check your times. And is that an Ironman distance race you're doing in Dubai?
Half Ironman. 1.9 swim, 90 bike, and 21 run.
And is that actually an Ironman race? Is it Ironman brand?
Yes, Ironman brand.
Okay, yeah. All right, I'm going to look up your results for you after. I want to see how you did. Now, is there, as someone who has a record at a race, and other people listening to these podcasts are obviously looking for, you know, a tip or an edge in training. So as someone with your experience now of holding the record at Cyberman, is there one great tip that you could share to help other people? Maybe your coach Anton, or was it Constantine, have shared with you, or something you've figured out on your own? One thing that would help another person to like do well at Ultraman.
My main advice to everybody who wants to become Ultraman, not do it in 1 year. For example, my first Cyberman in 2018 It was torture for me. It's really a hard torture for me. It's a bad idea. It's a bad scenario. And the second Cyberman in 2020 was a really sport race for my shape. I feel that, for example, I have never think about to stop race in second time. But in third time, after 30 minutes of swimming, I think, wow, I think it's not for me. I didn't ready. I should stop. And all 28 hours, I think about to stop the race. if somebody really want to become Ultraman or another ultra marathon races, you should train them to be sure that you are ready and be really ready.
Yeah.
Of course, with coach. If you self-training sportsman, it's not for you. Self-training, I think, enough for 10 kilometers running, not so fast, or half marathon. Marathon, half Ironman or full Ironman distance, and of course, Ultraman, universe of ultra races is very difficult and dangerous races. And everybody should know that it really can kill you. So you should be ready and feel your legs, feel your mind, feel your heart that you can do it. And without this confidence, not try to race some ultra.
Now, who will you be bringing for your crew?
Max, the same first name as mine. Mm-hmm. He will the cap of my support team in Cyberman. Mm-hmm. Second person is Alexander. Alex, he's a video operator because we want to make a movie about Canadian race. And in ideal scenario, we should have three members of support team. But each person is the costs for this journey. So I think we can do it with two members. But if I want to win or maybe to try to beat the world record, we should three members. So I think the third members is the best variant is Anton, my coach.
Yeah, yeah. It's helpful to have a coach with you to keep you on track.
Great runner.
You don't have to answer this question if you don't want to, but it's not every day I get to speak to a Russian person. And so I was just wondering, like, what is your take on what's happening politically in Russia right now with Navalny? Is that a big deal over there? Because over here in North America, they're making it very really, big in the news.
Really big deal and really big problem. Because our president and another people who are strong in government, I can answer you honestly. It's bad people. So. Everybody, I think, maybe not everybody, but 80% of dead people who have money, they think about immigration.
Okay.
It's a very bad time for Russia. Hmm. We believe in the in good and happy future, but I think it's maybe 10 years we will live in its strong conditions, unfortunately. So, for Navalny, he's in prison now and absolutely illegal.
Right. Yeah. And do you think that there'll be enough of a populist uprising to back him, even though he's in prison? Or do you think it'll be put down again and Russia will remain under control?
Back him, I don't think so. The worst scenario, it's 50-50, he can die there.
Right.
It's unfortunately, it's normal.
Right.
Yeah. But I hope he will live.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I've really appreciated your time today. And it's interesting to get to meet the athletes that will be showing up at our race. So I appreciate you coming in and telling us a little bit about yourself and giving that information for all the other athletes that are listening today. And hopefully when we all get together, we all know each other a little bit better through these interviews. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much to you, Larry.
And now here's another Steve King story.
I thought that two of the very first people I would want to talk about were, in fact, the two original winners from the Ultraman Hawaii event in 1983, and they are Kurt Madden and Ardis Bowe. Now, interestingly, both of those athletes came back to the Big Island in 1985 and won again. There were some slight changes in the bike courses that first year onwards. There were a couple of changes. The bike course on day one was 65 miles instead of 90, as it is now, and then the bike on day two went up from 160 to 171.4. So things have changed slightly. Courses have changed slightly over time. However, you look at those original winning times, they were still superb. 21.41 for Kurt and 26.57 for Ardis. Now, Ardis was also ninth overall on the first one in 1983, but they both came back and won again, as I mentioned, in 1985. Kurt's winning time that time was 22.11.04, well ahead of the rest of the field. But in the women's race, with Ardis winning again, she recorded a magnificent 25.44.51, which would still be a huge winning time. But she was third overall that year. Now, since that time, only two other women have gotten as high as third place at the World Championships, and they are Amber Montfort and Hilary Biscay, two very well-known triathletes. So let me tell you a bit more about the ability of those two athletes, because sandwiched in between those victories was 1984, of course. And 1984, it was the 88 Ironman champion Scott Molina who took the win at the Ultraman, and well-known triathlete Lynn Brooks for the women. Now, Kurt Madden, he has been top 10 at the Ironman World Championships before. He's also won the U.S. track and field 24-hour run, the national championships before. But what was stunning was the fact that in 2013, he came back to the Big Island 30 years after that first attempt in 1983, at the age of 58, and he ended up with a seventh place overall. That was 26 hours and 8 minutes and I think 25 seconds. But he also did a sub-3-hour swim on day one in 2013. And that is phenomenal. Anyone who's done the Ultraman knows that's a big deal to go sub-3 hours. Now, Ardis Bowe, let me go back to her for a moment as well, because I saw her also in 1986 when we had our first official Ironman Canada event in Penticton. We had held an event since 1983 at Ironman distances, but in 1986, it was the first official Ironman Canada. And Ardis tied for second place in the women's division with her friend Sally Edwards. Since then, amazingly, she has come back almost year after year to be a crew, to be a volunteer, to even be the dog sitter for Cheryl and Dave, the present race directors of Ultraman World Championships. But what was wonderful was to see them amongst the very first inductees into the Ultraman Hall of Fame. So I hope we get to see more of a story and possibly interviews with those two original champions, Kurt Madden and Ardis Bowe, who I know as Ardis the Artist.
Hey, if you liked what you heard today, please tell a friend and be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We'd appreciate it if you'd rate and review the show while you're there. Drop the names of the people you think we should interview and we'll get in touch with them and make that happen. Thank you for listening to 515, the Ultraman Podcast, a production of 55 Enterprises, brought to you by Ultraman Canada. Now really, go subscribe now before you forget.